From March madness to April showers, the signs of spring have been making their arrival in Michigan these past few weeks. You've probably also noticed a few more bird songs accompanying those first rays of morning light. Sometimes before your alarm clock, bird enthusiasts such as Harris Nature Center bird naturalist Claire Bratton have been venturing out more and more lately, binoculars at the ready. WKAR's Peter Wharf caught up with Claire at the Harris Nature Center recently as she prepared for one of her regular educational sessions.
We're going to spend the first part of the session indoors and just get some of the basics down. There's a lot of things that new birders, even if they've been out some, don't quite grasp some of the finer points of what makes birding easier.
What would be some of those things that people don't know about?
How to focus binoculars, just basically how to use binoculars, right, and all the different focusing mechanisms and various things on the binoculars that you use, and then just how to use them once you're in the field, how to find that bird. I mean, you can find it with your eyes, and then they kind of put the binoculars up and they can't find it anywhere. So we can give them some tips on how to do that real easily.
I'm going to ask you for some of those tips today, because I find that I'm not very good at using the binoculars to spot birds. Like you say, okay, I'll listen first and then I'll spot them, and then I can't find them with
binoculars. Well, the first and easiest thing to do, I mean, it's so simple that you think, well, why didn't I think of that? You don't take your eye off the bird. When you're looking at the bird, you keep your face and in there and look at the bird, and then just pick up the binoculars and put them up in front of your face, and then you're looking at the bird. People have a tendency to look down to pick up the binoculars. And when they put them up, the binoculars in front of their face, and then they can't find the bird. So keep your nose pointed at the bird and just lift the binoculars up.
Right. Talk to me about some of the differences this time of year. We're here in early April. What are we hearing and seeing differently than, say, a month or two ago? When is sort of the transitional time?
Well, for the birds that have been here all winter, you hear chips and chirps all winter long. But once the day length starts to change and the sun comes out, you start hearing their songs. Songs are territorial issues. It tells other birds of their species that I'm looking for a mate and this is my area. So they
haven't really gone anywhere, but no. We're hearing a difference now.
Yes, they are. Birds don't have just one call or one voice or one song. We keep seeing the song of. Well, there's not just one the. There's many, many different sounds that birds make. And so some more than others, but a lot of them are just call notes, you know, talking to each other.
Right.
But when spring comes, then you get into the song. The chickadee, the familiar chickadee-dee-dee-dee, is just a call. It's just a, hey, I'm here, and, you know, where are you? But in the spring, you get that dee-dee-dee-dee, and that's their spring song, which doesn't sound as much of a song to us, but it does it for them.
Well, let's go and walk a bit and see what we can see and hear.
Okay. I hear a junco over there. The juncos are singing, and they start their spring song here, start practicing, but they'll be moving further north, the juncos, the gray birds with the white bellies that are around here in the wintertime.
Is that an LBJ?
No.
I remember that
they're
from
brown.
Last time.
LBJs are brown birds.
Okay. Little brown job.
These are gray jobs.
Okay.
But they're pretty distinctive. You know, they look like they have on a gray coat with a white tummy.
Right.
And so they're on their way out. They'll be gone within the next probably 2 weeks, and you won't see them anymore.
Where will they go?
Northern Michigan,
yeah,
up into Canada,
right,
and they do their breeding up there.
Have they had a distant migration?
Not necessarily. They do. I mean, you can find them clear down into the southern states in the wintertime, but then they can go into some mountain areas, higher elevation, cooler areas, and even blue jays. they do short range. The blue jay you saw all winter may not be the blue jay that nests in your yard.
Really?
They do
different ones?
Different ones.
Yeah.
They do short range migrations. So we get the ones from northern Michigan come down here. The ones from here go down into Ohio and Illinois and Indiana. And, so everybody's moving around and trying to find the perfect spot to do their nesting. Oh, there's a nuthatch.
See a nuthatch?
I heard one.
Oh, you heard one. Okay.
That little nasal.
Oh, yeah.
He's going down the tree. He's the downy bird.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They come headfirst down the side of a trunk of a tree.
Who's that guy right there about?
That's the nuthatch.
There's one about 40 feet in front of us.
Oh, out there? Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole group of them in here. There's one on this larger tree right here, too. I think
Don't even need the binoculars for those.
No. There's a cluster of them right here for some
quite a
reason.
Few.
But, they're all nuthatches. I thought maybe we'd see hear a tufted titmouse because they've been singing, too, but I haven't heard any today. Birdwatchers should also know tree names.
Oh, yeah. That tree.
That tree.
Bird watchers need to identify trees as well.
Once you get into bird watching, you get into all kinds of other things because you're out and you're walking around and seeing different things. Oh, and, you know, when the spring flowers are blooming and somebody always got it.
Naturalist Claire Bratton with WKAR's Peter Wharf at Meridian Township's Harris Nature Center. Claire regularly leads educational sessions throughout mid-Michigan.